yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Rumination Thursday, November the 2nd, in the year of our Lord, 2017. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with us always on a Rumination Thursday, when he's able to be on the air with us, is Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I just finished my prayers to the saints, and so I thought, oh, wait a minute. No, that's not true, is it?
Oh, my goodness.
I know. You know, on All Saints' Day, there are certain practices that even Christians kind of follow. For example, how many times have you been at the cemetery with maybe members of the congregation, and they appear to be talking to the person who's in the grave, saying, you know, we're thinking about you, we're having a okay life right now, we're looking forward to seeing you again. And if you stop and ask them, do you know that this person is not hearing you at all?
Yeah, well, you see it on the TV, you know, where the people are saying, I did this. They're watching down from heaven and seeing that I did this for them.
Yes. I mean, how many people talk about, oh, boy, my parents are in heaven, and I hope they don't see what I was just thinking or doing. Boy, how could they be in bliss if they knew all these things?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, but on All Saints Day, I think one of the things we can talk about today is the Book of Concord, which is the Lutheran Confessions, has a lengthy section about worship of the saints. It's in the Augsburg Confession, which was first stated before the emperor. It's Article 21. And then in the Apology of the Augsburg, which means a defense of what they had said, it's a whole number of pages. And I think it'd be worth our time when we talk about honoring the saints, what we're really talking about. I found this statement in the Augsburg Confession, and it is a great summary of what I would consider all of the Book of Concord to be about. Our churches do not dissent from any article of the faith held by the Church Catholic. They only omit some of the newer abuses. They have been erroneously adopted through the corruption of the times, contrary to the intent of canon law. And of course, one is the idea that Mary assumed into heaven bodily, another is purgatory, another is that we're able to pray to the saints. But I found that very interesting because we've been making that point again and again. Lutheranism does not begin a new religion. It returns to the faith of the Bible. And here they say the only things we're against are the newer abuses.
It's carrying forward that Reformation principle that we've been talking about the last week or so, that it's the word alone that going to
Scripture interprets Scripture.
That's
really critical. And I can understand why people would like to pray to loved ones, but I tell you, the Apology does some great things here because it gives the impression that if you're willing to pray to a saint rather than write to Jesus, well, guess what? That means you're kind of afraid of Jesus and you think you're going to get a better understanding if you would pray to one of the saints. Yesterday, I visited a person at a hospital, and it was a Roman Catholic hospital. And I'm walking back to my car. I had gone out the wrong door, so I had a little lengthier walk. But I went through a patio section. There were benches there. And there was an individual, it was a statue of a woman looking up to another statue and praying to it. And I couldn't quite see who she was praying to until I kind of walked around the corner. And guess who she was praying to?
Mary?
Yes.
Oh, my.
I about fell down. I said, oh, no. Because I thought it was Mary kneeling, praying to Jesus. But no, it was like a patient praying to Mary. And how sad that is, that people don't think that Jesus is merciful enough to hear our prayers, that we're worthy to go straight to Jesus. And there's a bunch of Bible passages that the Augsburg Confession and the Apology uses to show that Jesus wants us to pray directly to him. Call upon me in the day of trouble.
I will deliver you.
Yeah. Come to me, all who labor. And that's really critical to understand. So the invocation of saints is actually a form of idolatry, because the confessions make it very clear there's nowhere in the Bible where that practice is encouraged.
So we don't pray to the saints that take care of the animals, huh?
No, we don't pray to the saints. And yeah, there was, you know, in my younger days, you know me, and I got a great big statue of St. Joseph and put it on my dashboard.
Why did you do that?
Well, I had a lot of Roman Catholic friends. And so it would always lead to a conversation, because they believe, I believe it's St. Joseph, is the one that goes in cars.
Cars for travel.
Yes, for travel. And boy. But there is a way in which, and this is what All Saints Day is about, in which we are to honor the saints. And there's three things that they talk about in the confessions. And I'm looking at the Apology, Article 21, paragraphs 4 through 7. The first thing it says is that we ought to be thankful because God has shown them as examples of mercy. He has saved them, and through them has given teachers and other gifts to the church.
Mm.
So are you thankful for your parents?
Oh, yeah.
And I am also.
Oh, yeah. Your parents, your grandparents. You know, I was kidding with some people today, here this last week, that December marks the 100th anniversary of my grandparents' wedding anniversary. And it was December 7th.
Wow.
Which was the same day that Pearl Harbor was bombed. But they were married in 1917 in Brazil. And, it's the time you give thanks for the fact that God had brought them together.
Now, they passed away, though, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say 100. Be about 120 years old, depending on when they got married, yes.
Well, one would have been about 130, so.
Wow, yes. Yeah. And we remember, because all of my family was Christian.
Oh, yeah.
And not all Lutheran. My grandma and grandpa were Roman Catholic and such, and that's where I got to know a lot about Roman Catholic theology. And I remember most of my friends in the neighborhood were Roman Catholic. And at 10, 12 years old, I was writing papers against their views, and we were having some good discussion.
Oh, yeah. But it's just like you say, it's a time to remember the saints of the families that we have. But, as I read through some of this, it isn't just those that have gone before us, but doesn't it include those that are living right now, too, that are saints of God?
Yes, the program before mine, the pastor was talking about a new artistic rendering of, I'm pretty sure, one of Cranach's paintings, where Jesus is on the cross and blood is coming from him into the chalice. And they were talking about this new painting, and I'm going to be getting a copy of it here, where they not only have Martin Luther and other great saints, but they also have Matthew Harrison in the picture, who's the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Ah, yeah, that would make sense, yeah.
and
who is
for
currently living.
See, for All Saints Day, and this is a second purpose of celebrating the saints, according to the Apology, is for the strengthening of our faith.
Mm.
Peter's denial, they give, was forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And if that can be forgiven, and look what was forgiven in Paul while he was still Saul, the murderer of Christians.
Yeah. I mean, he was on his way. How could he destroy the Christian? In fact, wasn't he the one who held a coat at Stephen's stoning?
That's correct. That's his first time in the scripture. And then that road to Damascus, I often make this up that Jesus is talking to the angels, Michael and Gabriel, and he says, who should we make as apostle to the Gentiles? And they say, well, how about Peter? He was pretty good, or John. And then Jesus says, well, I think I'm going to decide on a man named Saul who's murdering Christians. And you can just imagine Gabriel and Michael, what? Now, that's made up, of course.
Of course, yeah. It's like, yeah, God takes the weak and the despised things and makes them the powerful.
Yes. Now, the third item that we should honor the saints for, the first is thanksgiving that God has saved them. The second is the strengthening of our faith, seeing their sins have been forgiven. It strengthens our faith. And the third is the one that I normally only talk about, but I'm going to start adding the other two, and that's imitation of their faith. That's a great honor when you take a look. My parents, I mean, I can't even imagine on a Sunday morning that I ever would have said, well, I don't feel like going to church this morning. I mean, going to church was the same as going to public school or having breakfast or whatever. It was just automatic. I mean, there was never a time we ever argued. And that's why it's really too bad that the fastest growing group of believers are called nuns, N-O-N-E-S, who don't affiliate with any congregation at all.
Yeah, it makes me wonder sometimes if parents don't fill their lives with so many other things that they say, oh, you know, not this week. I took them through confirmation and that was enough.
Well, look at how many items schools have on Sunday morning. There's baseball games, football games. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I remember in the old days, they would have nothing on Wednesday nights.
Yep.
Because so many of us had Advent and Lenten services. But secularism has really taken over. Have you any examples
of how it's taken over? Oh, just what you described, the Sunday morning sports situation. I know pastors that they go to have their confirmation on Sunday, and then when they confirm the kids, and even there, parents just said, well, we can't make it because we got a sports complex that we got to take our kid to.
Yeah, at the last congregation I was kind of working with, I had five different occasions for adult instruction during the week because there was hardly a time that all of them could meet at the same time.
Oh, my goodness. Now, that I hadn't encountered. I was able to come up with a single date on that, but It really is, I know for quite a few pastors, have become a problem where they've had to have confirmation at several times.
You have a new individual pastor who became kind of assistant to your district president. He was recently installed.
Oh, you mean Ken Sherb.
He had youth confirmation Sundays at 3 p.m.
Hmm.
I'll never forget that, and because, you know, pastors kind of like to relax on Sunday after, but that was the only time that, and that is rare, even though games were held on Sunday morning, very few are held Sunday afternoon, at least in his area, and so he was able to do that. You ought to get him to talk about some of that.
I can top his. I had mine, if you remember, when I was at Havana, I had to have mine at right after
church.
Second service, yeah.
And why did I love coming?
Because we had pizza.
Yes, you had pizza. I wasn't interested in what you had to say, but boy, that pizza was good.
Yeah, that was, and it worked out well. You know, the parents each took turns to bring in a meal so that
the
kids had something to eat while we did our lessons together.
Of course, you had another practice. I believe it was at Havana on after the Saturday night service.
Pizza again.
Yeah, Pizza Hut. Oh, boy. And that really, I couldn't believe how many people you had coming to that.
Well, they had traditionally done that anyway.
Yeah.
There were several groups that we met with. When you were there, we met with the Pizza Hut group. But there was another group that traditionally went out on Saturday too. But what was interesting is they would ask questions, wouldn't they, about the sermon?
Oh, yes.
And the lessons. And so it became a time to reflect on what we had discussed and preached and taught in the lessons for the day.
Because on Saturday before the service, Saturday night, you had the Bible study.
Study, right.
So we had the Bible study, the service, and then Pizza Hut, which was the, I was going to say the sacrament of the evening, but not really.
Yeah. When you were there, I would always try and tell them, bring questions and try and stump you on it.
Yes.
Never got it done.
Now, they make a point in the apology why we don't pray to saints. And here it is. I'll just say it. A prayer without faith is not prayer.
Mm.
Now, what they're not talking about faith in believing that their sins are forgiven or this kind of thing. It's faith in a promise from the Bible that the saints who have died understand our prayers and that God approves of it. And guess what? There is no such promise anywhere in the Bible.
Yeah.
So that's why you praying to the saints, there is no faith there because there's no promise connected to that. I thought that was a great point.
Yeah, and that's coming out of the confessions. If you remember a couple of years ago, we had Alan Smith who talked about if you took a look at the word faith, in the Bible, it only referred to believers and never unbelievers.
Exactly. Because faith is always trust in the promises regarding Jesus Christ. We call that the gospel. And an unbeliever doesn't have that faith because
that's
he
right.
doesn't believe in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think that's a great distinction there, that there is nothing there when you're praying to somebody other than the triune God.
In fact, what the confessions do, they say that not only does the Roman Catholic Church make the saints intercessors, but they are also people who make atonement for us.
Mm.
And I didn't quite understand that until I read a little further, because they say, without the testimony of Scripture, the Roman Catholic Church declares the saints are mediators of intercession. But it still clouds Christ's office and transfers to the saints the confidence of mercy belonging to Christ. People imagine that Christ is stricter and the saints more easily appeased, and therefore they pray to them because they trust the saints' mercy rather than Christ's mercy. They flee from Christ and seek the saints, so they actually make the saints mediators of redemption.
Yep.
Isn't that great?
it takes away Christ as the mediator and the intercessor for us, doesn't it?
Yeah, like John 16, they quote, Jesus, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. There is no such promise about the saints.
Mm. I also was thinking of 1 John chapter 1, where it talks about him being an intercessor for us.
Yes. Now, one of the things they do say, there's no doubt that the saints in heaven may be thinking about us. We just don't know. And they may be also praying. We don't have a problem with that. But the idea that we ask people on earth to pray for us doesn't give any proof that, therefore, after they die, we can still send prayers to them and they will intercede for us.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's just no doubt about it that they don't. I mean, they have to get into this zodiac stuff, paranormal stuff, and then that we know is never been approved by Scripture.
Well, then, I'll tell you one area that never can be approved, and I've never really had an experience of any of the members, but those who attempt to do seances.
Seances, yeah.
In order to speak to the dead.
That's right.
And I'm not saying that the dead aren't responding. It's just that they are evil angels that are doing, because the angels know everything that happened in our life. I remember one who said, yeah, when I talked to my dead brother, he was telling me things that just he and I knew. And so it had to be him. And I said, no, the evil angels were there. They know everything about your life. And so it was them that was speaking, pretending they were your brother. We saw the problem Saul had with the witch at Endor.
Yeah, I remember my first encounter was in high school.
With a seance?
Yeah, one of the kids, it was actually the Ouija board that they were using.
Yes.
And, they got mad at me because every time I came around, nothing would happen.
Good.
And, of course, I was one of those, who was confirmed, Missouri Senate. And we,
right.
No, you didn't do that. Actually, what eventually happened is the kid that was in our class, their pastor had to come in, burn it,
Yes.
And sit down and pray with them and set the record straight with the family.
You should have used a technique I would have used.
What's that?
When it came to me, I put my hand over and then I asked the question, is anyone in this room except me going to be saved? And I would move my hand over to the no. I said, ooh, this does work.
No.
I know. Yeah, I wasn't the best kid to be around fooling around with those things. I mean, most of my friends were Roman Catholic. We had great. One of my Roman Catholic friends, his sister, went to church on All Saints Day because she was told that if she did that, she could get her aunt out of purgatory.
Oh, my goodness.
And boy, she went to church thinking that that's what was happening. I have to say, a lot of Roman Catholics have views that the Roman Catholic Church does not support. But this it does support. If you go to Mexico, the statues to Mary are bigger than the statues to Jesus.
Really?
Yes. That was something I was told by one of our missionaries from there. And you can understand why, because Mary you can approach, Jesus you can't. In their theology, because, you're not perfect. Yet they think they can come and take the very body and blood of Christ in the Lord's Supper. Doesn't that show them that Jesus has broken down the dividing wall of hostility between us and him?
Right. Why would I want to go to somebody else other than Jesus?
So All Saints Day is an opportunity to show the things that we do in our life that really give the impression that the saints who have died ahead of us hear us. And we need to be more careful of that and make sure that our prayers are always to Jesus and him alone.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well said.
All right. Look forward to seeing you here next Rumination Thursday. And I haven't looked at the readings yet, so we haven't figured out what we're going to say. But thanks very much, Wes.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Okay. I'm Tom Baker. And tomorrow is Open Mic Friday. That means you can call 1-800-730-2727. and ask me any theological question. Last week, we kind of dealt with the Reformation. This week, you may have something to say about All Saints Day. But the line is open for you. And continue to listen to other KFUO programs that focus on Jesus. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.